Radio has changed our lives and practically saved our lives.
Everybody, listen carefully.
This guy gets it.
Radio has changed our lives and practically saved our lives.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Josi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Rocco Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator,
and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to Smashville.
Of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right. It's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. The Renegades of Puck are in the trenches this morning. I'll be joined by Mastrodamus in the second period, Sean C. Smith in the third period, and someone will have to deliver Brian Baston's one big stat before the end of the show because Brian has suffered a bit of a voice outage overnight. No worries, all Renegades of Puck to the trenches. We will handle that business. We'll take care of things right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Remember, you can always listen to this radio show by going to WNSR.com and streaming the show completely live and 100% for free. Also, while you're at WNSR.com, check out the archives, check out the merch page, check out everything about Predneck Nation Radio. Well over 500 episodes now. You can check our work. You can go back and you can see exactly what we've been doing in the trenches now for over 10 years here with Nashville Sports Radio. Also, that WNSR app completely free for you to download. We'd appreciate if you would do that and take the show with you anywhere in the universe. Over the air, 560 AM and 95.9 FM, of course, all throughout Middle Tennessee. 107.9 FM is going to help you through Smyrna into the borough and on into Coffee County, and 103.9 Drakesboro, Kentucky on the FM dial, simulcasting us all out of Drakesboro, down into Clarksville, and over to Bowling Green. So we appreciate them very much. So lots of options, lots of ways to listen to this radio show completely for free, live at 5 on game days, or whenever it is that the Renegades of Puck feel like taking over this here radio station. With it being that time of year, everybody, with playoff madness beginning to creep in, well, you never know when there might be a Predneck takeover. So make sure you are monitoring the trenches by following the Renegades of Puck at Renegades of Puck or at Predneck Nation. And you can always follow the radio station here, Nashville Sports Radio, at Nash Sports Radio. Beaming out a video of the Command and Control Center and Bunker on Facebook. If that's your chosen way to stream the show, that is also 100% completely free for you to check out each and every show here on Nashville Sports Radio. Your Nashville Predators start the day with 46 games played on the season out of a 56-game schedule. They are currently in fourth place, which is a playoff position. They have a record of 24-21-1. They have 49 points. And on home ice, they have a record of 13-9-0. That's where they will be today as they host the Chicago Blackhawks for the sixth out of eight regular season times and the first of three this week. That's right, it could be the most pivotal three-game stretch of the entire season for this Nashville Predators team, as they will welcome in today and then head out on the road to face off against the fifth seed, Chicago Blackhawks, who currently have 45 games played. That is one less than the Nashville Predators. They hold a record of 21-19-5. They have 47 points, which is 2 points behind the Nashville Predators. The Dallas Stars, they are 3 points behind the Nashville Predators, just 1 point back of Chicago. They have played three less games than the Preds, two less games than the Blackhawks, and that is your three-team race right there to figure out who is going to be the fourth seed in the Central Division. We know who is going to be seeds 1 through 3. We just don't know what order they are going to finish in. Currently sitting with Carolina in first place, and they should be after handling their business back-to-back against the Nashville Predators over the weekend. Now the Carolina Hurricanes have 62 points, while the Florida Panthers sit at 61 points, and the Tampa Bay Lightning sit at 60. Carolina has played the least amount of games out of any of the top teams at only 43. The Columbus Blue Jackets, the Detroit Red Wings, I am writing both of those teams off. As a matter of fact, the Wings are about to overtake the Columbus Blue Jackets for seventh place in the division, just to show you how far the Columbus Blue Jackets have sunk here in recent play. And Godspeed, Detroit Red Wings. Go ahead and win every one of the rest of your games. Beat up on all the competition, because the Nashville Predators are long since done with your regular season series. I mentioned it's the first of three against the Chicago Blackhawks team this week. Well, the Nashville Predators at this point in the season are 5-0 in the regular season series. This game is at Bridgestone Arena Wednesday night in Chicago, Friday night in Chicago, before the Preds will come back home and face off in a three-game stretch, two against Florida, one against Dallas, and then we're into the final week of the season. When you go back and look at the season series between this Nashville Predators team and the Chicago Blackhawks team, former Central Division rivals, now new Central Division rivals, the season series started off all the way back on January the 26th, and it was the Predators with a 3-2 victory over Chicago in overtime. Pekarinen got the win, making 18 saves. Granlund and Trenin got the goals in regulation, while Roman Josi got the overtime game winner. They would play again the next night on the 27th, and it would be a 2-1 victory in the shootout for the Nashville Predators. Juuse Saros getting the victory this time with 29 saves. Cousins with the goal in regulation. Duchesne with the shootout game-winning goal. 3:27 would be the next time these two teams would play, so it would be a full 2 months between appearances for these two squads against each other, and the Preds would be in Chicago for the first time, defeating the Blackhawks 3-1. Juuse Saros gets the victory with 29 saves. Granlund, Grimaldi, Johansson are your goal scorers for Nashville. They'd follow that up the next night with a 3-2 victory. Rene gets the win. Arvidsson, Yarncroke, and Josi get your goals, and they've played one more time since, and that was here at Bridgestone Arena. The Preds shut out the Chicago Blackhawks 3-0 on April the 3rd. Juuse Saros making 41 saves in the shutout. Cunnan, Sissons, and Tolvanen got your goals. So the regular season series, 5-0 in favor of the Nashville Predators, and they have outscored the Chicago Blackhawks 14-6. And of course, after today, they'll head off to Chicago for the final two games of the regular season series that will take place on Wednesday and Friday. When you take a look at the Chicago Blackhawks and their recent play, there is a reason that they are keeping pace with the Nashville Predators, but there's also a reason that they've not been able to catch up to the Nashville Predators. You'll understand when I read off these results. On the 8th of April, it was a 5-1 loss versus Dallas. Then on the 10th of April, it was a 4-3 win at the Columbus Blue Jackets. Followed that up with a 4-3 overtime win at the Columbus Blue Jackets, but then dropped one 4-1 at Detroit, and then defeated the Red Wings 4-0 in their most recent game on the 17th. Taking a look inside the numbers for these two teams, goals for the Nashville Predators, 2.52, 26th best overall in the NHL, while the Chicago Blackhawks hold the 18th best spot in the league at 2.78. Goals against, 2.83, is 16th for Chicago at 3.04. That has them at 20th in the NHL. Shots for Chicago, 22nd. Shots against, they are 30th. The Nashville Predators shots for 16th. Shots against, 21st. Special teams, of course, has been one of the biggest stories all season long. The power play for Chicago is very good, but the last couple of times these two clubs have met, the Nashville Predators have done an incredible job of shutting down what is a very high-end, high-skill, lethal power play unit for the Chicago Blackhawks team. Currently, they are ranked 7th overall in the NHL at 23.7% conversion, 33 times out of 139 attempts. The Nashville Predators penalty kill, 28th in the league at 74.8%. But I am very happy to be able to report to you first thing on this Monday morning that 36 power play goals against is no longer the most power play goals given up in the entire NHL. As a matter of fact, after New Jersey gave up 2 yesterday to the New York Rangers, the Devils have passed the Predators and now have given up 37, which is the most in the NHL. And I hope it's the last time I ever have to say that the Nashville Predators have given up the most power play goals against. They've been behind the eight ball all season long, ever since that Dallas game where they gave up 5 against. And now, finally, someone has overtaken them in this statistical category. The Nashville Predators power plays 18.9% conversion. That's good for 25 out of 132. And that is 22nd in the NHL, while the Chicago Blackhawks penalty kill is 29th overall in the NHL, and they have given up 31 power play goals against. Talking about the playoff race, the division schedule, well, for Chicago, 10 games to go. After the 3 against Nashville, they'll have 1 versus Tampa, 2 versus Florida, and then 3 games in a row at Carolina before closing out the regular season series in a home series against the Dallas Stars. So Chicago and Dallas fighting it out with Nashville for that last playoff spot. It could very much come down to that last two games of the season between Dallas, and Chicago. Dallas, of course, has more games than anybody left on the schedule because of the early season scheduling issues that they had. They've got 4 home and 9 away, but they have 7 on the road consecutively to end the season, and their schedule breaks down like this. Detroit has a chance to play spoiler here with Dallas. It'll be 2 versus Detroit, then 2 at Detroit, then 2 versus Carolina, 1 at Tampa, 1 at Nashville, 1 at Florida, 2 at Tampa, 2 at Chicago. So Dallas does not have a very easy schedule and, of course, have to go on the road for a considerable amount of time to end the season. For the Nashville Predators, they have every opportunity, but they have to handle their business against Chicago in these next 3 games. Already 5-0 against the Chicago Blackhawks this season, and an opportunity to absolutely put it to them this week and end their hopes of making the playoffs. The rest of the division is also on the ice tonight, an incredibly busy and fun Monday night around the Central Division. Carolina will be at Tampa Bay. So first place on the line tonight between Carolina and Tampa Bay. The Columbus Blue Jackets will be at the Florida Panthers, and Detroit will take on Dallas. So again, Detroit having an opportunity to play spoiler, no doubt about that. Injuries always going to be the story for this Nashville Predators team. They have just piled up throughout the season, looking a little bit better now that you see Ellis and Duchesne back in the lineup. Forsberg, Tolvanen, and Olivier on the forward side of things. Of course, you could throw Richardson in there as well, and other names. There's a lot of injuries right now. That's your impact players on the forward side of things. On the defensive side of things, Fabro and Carrier definitely being missed right now. Borowiecki also has been out of the lineup for quite a bit of time. Haven't updated the stats in a little while, so let's get with that. Forsberg still leads your team in statistics, but only by 1 point now. 34 games skated and sorely missed from the lineup, especially when it comes to the power play. 11 goals, 18 assists, 29 points. Roman Josi, second on the team in scoring, has 28 points, 22 of those being assists, 12 of those 22 assists coming on the power play. Victor Arvidsson, now after 45 games skated, has 10 goals and 14 assists for 24 points. Kelly Aarnkroke is your only other Predator at 20 points. The breakdown is 11-9. Definitely missing some of the offensive punch in this lineup. Really need to get Elie Tolvanen back as soon as possible. In net for the Nashville Predators, Juuse Saros' numbers have just come around and turned into a great hockey season for this netminder for the Nashville Predators. 27 games skated, 15-9, and 2.23 goals against, and a .928 save percentage. Just to give you Rene's numbers, .912-1, a .297, and a .902 save percentage. So the Nashville Predators netminder's numbers have certainly improved over the last month of hockey. There was a point in time where I couldn't even look at that particular sheet. The stats for the Chicago Blackhawks, you know who's going to lead this team in scoring each and every time, and it's Patrick Kane. One of the heaviest and most lethal wrist shots off the rush from sharp angles, it does not make a difference. Patrick Kane's always going to be out there on the first power play unit, and he's always going to take the shot. 45 games played, 15 goals, 41 assists, 56 points on the season. 19 of his 56 points come on the power play. Alex DeBrincat, second on the team in scoring. He's got 22 goals and 21 assists. That's good for 43 points. DeBrincat's got 7 power play goals and usually has a very good game against the Nashville Predators. Shutting him down is very important. Kubalik, after 45 games, gets 14 goals and 15 assists for 29 points. Pew Suter has had a nice rookie season, 12 goals and 8 assists for 20 points. And, of course, the Chicago Blackhawks did make some moves, which means Janmark no longer a part of this team. So the last time the Nashville Predators saw them, Janmark was giving the Preds a bit of difficulties. He is no longer a part of this team, as Chicago, of course, having a feeling that they may not be a playoff team, looking to make a difference for the future. Lankinen has been a gem for the Chicago Blackhawks and a great discovery for that team this year. 32 games skated now, 16-12-4, a .279 goals against, and a .914 save percentage. And the Nashville Predators are going to have to beat Kevin Lankinen over the next couple of days if they want to secure that number 4 playoff spot in the Central Division. It is a best of 3 this week, with the Preds taking the first 5. I think that the Nashville Predators need to roll and at least take 2 out of the next 3. That would ensure that they get out of this 3-game set with just a handful of games to go, with at least a decent point lead. Let's go back and take a look at the last game for the Nashville Predators. It was game 6 out of 8 on the regular season series between the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes. The Preds in Carolina on their second trip of the season, and it was back on April the 17th in the year 2021 that we went off to Carolina to face off against the Canes. And it was only 36 seconds into the game. UC Saros comes up with a save on Lorenz at close range of 149. Saros comes up with a save on Niederreiter from the low circle at 519. There's Saros again with a save on Svechnikov at the top of the crease, plus a rebound, plus a follow-up. And the Canes already 10 shots on goal in under 10 minutes of play. And the Nashville Predators definitely having some trouble getting their skates under them. 10:43, Cunning gets a shot. It tricks Nedeljkovic just a little bit, but not enough to get it into the net. 11:11, we see Staal hit the post. Saros has to make multiple saves after Ekholm's turnover in the D zone. At 11:19, Johansson 2 minutes for cross-checking. This gives Yarncroke a chance to redirect the puck for a clear. He had a broken stick for quite a bit of time on this penalty kill, maintained his discipline, maintained his composure, maintained his positioning, and was able to redirect with his skate the puck to his teammate for an easy clear. We say it all the time about Kalle Yarncroke having an incredibly high hockey IQ. Just another example on display right there. 14:33 at the first period, UC Saros with a save on Slavin, but then Slavin would get Saros at 18:18. His second goal of the season, it was a long shot after a faceoff loss in the D zone. Carolina up 1-0 at the end of the first period, and the Carolina Hurricanes are out shooting the Nashville Predators 24-7. Yes, I said that. 24-7. It is a miracle that this game is only 1-0 in favor of the Canes after one period. UC Saros doing incredible work in the first period. 2:48 of the second period. Saros save on Fogle's rebound opportunity from the low slot. 3:05. Hollow would get a good chance. Would wake up Nedeljkovic for the first time in a while. 8:55. Janot would be off the box. 2 minutes for interference on Shea. This was some hard contact right here. And the Nashville Predators are going to be on the penalty kill. And UC Saros is going to have to come up with a big save on Sebastian Aho's one-timer. At 11:36 of the second period, the captain of the Nashville Predators ties this game up at one apiece. It's Roman Josi with his sixth goal of the season. Solid forecheck by Duchesne and Cousins getting in there and doing the work. Unfortunately, neither are rewarded with a point on this, but as the puck gets out to Roman Josi, he takes it across the middle, spins, fires top shelf, and the captain of the Nashville Predators ties this game at one apiece. Again, good job by Duchesne and Cousins. One of those plays that doesn't show up on the score sheet, but it does show up on this radio show. At 11:56 of the second period, Cousins gets a shot. It trickles behind Nedeljkovic, but Holla can't stop at the back post and jam the puck in. Wasted opportunity for the Nashville Predators on a golden rebound opportunity. 14:49, we see a penalty, 2 minutes for interference. Janot drawing a penalty for the Nashville Predators and putting them on the power play. Johansson kicks in a rebound on this power play opportunity. It would be waved off by the referees immediately, and it was absolutely the right call. Definitely a distinct kicking motion, and you know what? Try to get away with it, make the referee make the call, and the referee did make the call, and it was the right call in this particular scenario. At 18:29, we see Bean off to the box, 2 minutes for cross-checking. The Nashville Predators would be unable to do anything on this power play. We head to the end of the second period. Carolina now out shooting Nashville only 31-18. I say only because Carolina was only able to get 7 shots on goal in the second period after having 24 on goal in the first. The Nashville Predators did a much better job. Now in a tie game, and they've evened this game out just a little bit. The ice still tilted in favor of Carolina, but the Preds doing a much stronger job than they did in the first period. Carry over at 29 seconds on that power play into the third period. It would go by unremarkably at 51 seconds. We'd see a backhand by Duchesne has to be stopped by Nedeljkovic. The Preds evened out the game. Both teams competing very hard, but the Preds are definitely in this tie game in the third period. At the 7:43 mark of the third period, Saros comes up with a save on Shea, plus a rebound opportunity. 8:43, Saros with another big save, but at 8:55, UC Saros would get beaten after the Preds would lose yet another faceoff. A long shot with traffic would beat UC Saros. A clean loss on the faceoff in the D zone would result in a goal against for the Nashville Predators. Now, the Canes up 2-1. Preds are pushing back, but they just cannot generate nearly enough high-danger offensive opportunities. The Carolina Hurricanes are starting to lock down the middle of the ice and especially their own defensive zone. At 13:44, UC Saros keeping the Preds in this one with a big save on Aho. 15:15, another big save for UC Saros. At 17:15, Nedeljkovic has to come up with a save Kayvon Sissons after Trennan does some incredible close work around the crease and gets a great pass over to Sissons. This was a great opportunity for the Nashville Predators to tie this game up. But unfortunately, Svechnikov would convert the empty netter just seconds later. His 12th goal of the season, the Canes' third goal of the game. And that would be your final 3-1 in favor of Carolina over Nashville. And the Nashville Predators get swept on their two-game trip to Carolina. And unfortunately for the Nashville Predators now, they have not found a way to get a single victory in six opportunities against the Carolina Hurricanes this season. Yes, the Canes are in first place. Yes, they're competing for a number one overall seed in the NHL and a President's Trophy, and they have 62 points. But for the Nashville Predators, they have got to do better than one out of a possible 12 points against this Carolina Hurricanes team. Now, 0-5-1 against the Canes, and they'll have an opportunity the last two games of the regular season, May 8th, May 10th. The Nashville Predators will face off against the Carolina Hurricanes at Bridgestone Arena to wrap up the regular season series and to wrap up the regular season. That could be a week of significant intrigue. Will Carolina be battling it out for number one overall, or will they have very little to play for, very little that they can improve upon? For the Nashville Predators, that two-game set could be absolutely massive. This is the week. The Chicago Blackhawks, this three-game series, we've had it circled on the calendar, we've had it circled on the schedule, and we've been pointing it out for a long time. There's a reason we have been talking about how this could be one of the biggest weeks and one of the most important three-game stretches of the entire season for this Nashville Predators team. The four seed is on the line. Basically, we are entering a three-game playoff series right now against the Chicago Blackhawks throughout the rest of this week. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to cover here on Prednik Nation Radio. Jump in the trenches with each and every one of the Renegades of Puck, live at 5 on game days or whenever it is that we feel like taking over this radio station. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonier. Mostradamus coming up in the second period next, Sean C. Smith in the third period, and we'll figure out how to deliver Brian Baston's one big stat since he is relatively voiceless after some difficulties. You're listening to Prednik Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonier. Mostradamus up next. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sports and Prednik Nation, a match made in hockey.
I'm Jussi Saros of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in, Prednik Nation Radio. Jussi Saros bringing us back from break right there. You are, in fact, in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Remember, you can always follow the show at Renegades of Puck. You listen to this radio show on game days, 5 a.m. on demand world. We're always available to you through SoundCloud. Just check out WNSR.com or follow us on Twitter or Facebook or any of those other social media accounts. And you'll always be able to get the link, usually posted by 7 a.m. on game days, sometimes sooner, sometimes even a day before. It just depends on when the Renegades of Puck decide to jump in the trenches and take over. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonier, here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey. He is the starting goaltender of Prednik Nation Radio. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He's also a man so far ahead in the future, he's going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight between the Nashville Predators and the Chicago Blackhawks. First thing I'll do is say good morning, Mostradamus. How are you?
Charlie, I am doing well, ready for another huge week of Preds hockey.
Mosh, let me talk to you and go back to this game that Jussi Saros put up against the Carolina Hurricanes, and then we'll get on to what's going to happen this week, because it's time to put that in the rear view and move ahead to this three-game set against the Chicago Blackhawks. But first, Jussi Saros, 45 out of 47 in the game against Carolina in Carolina on the road the other night, 23 out of 24 in the first period. Mosh, Jussi Saros kept this thing from being a blowout in the first period, and for all of the stick taps we gave to Vasilevsky for that period he put up against the Preds recently at Bridgestone Arena, on the road to stop 23 of 24 against a team as dynamic, offensively gifted, and determined as the Carolina Hurricanes, Jussi Saros just put up one hell of a period of hockey.
Yeah, simply incredible. Short memory, too, from Saros after giving up four goals the game before on Thursday. Didn't play poorly by any means, but he showed without a shadow of a doubt after that first period that that was not going to derail the heater he's been on here as of late. Essentially had an entire game basically in the first period. Some 24 shots is insane for a period. It should have been at least 3-4-0 for Carolina after the first period. And I don't know if Carolina just couldn't keep up with that pace in the first period, or they let the foot off the gas, or the Preds actually got their skates under them. Thankfully, the Preds were able to at least show some life, particularly in the second period, at least tie the game. And then, unfortunately, the third period goal, which I can get it deeper into, but Yanni Hakanpää just got traded from Anaheim. You know, talk about a change for him. Go from Anaheim to Carolina. Good for him. 29 years old, first NHL career goal. I think he became the 10,000th player ever to score their first career goal against the Preds. But no relation to Hakanpää to Hakanlub, the dynamic Swedish winger that Terry Crisp coached to a Stanley Cup final back in 89.
I say, I'm sure that's who Crispy thought he was watching the other night anyway. But, Mosh, after that game, UC Saros' numbers actually improve on the season now. Unfortunately, the record, 15-9. But the other statistics, 2.23 goals against a .928 save percentage, just continues to improve. And I cannot believe what those numbers look like after what we saw at the start of the season. All right, let's work our way out from the net to the blue line. And let's talk about Roman Josi. He had a goal in this game. He also had four block shots, skated 22-48, 2:54 in time on ice, led his team out there. We also saw for the first time Gudbranson on the ice. We saw Harper out there. Ellis, Ekholm, and Benning made up the rest of your D pairs. Mosh, they did what they could, but it is incredibly difficult to slow down and stop this Carolina Hurricanes team, at least, as you mentioned, the second and maybe the first parts of the third period before Carolina moved it up to the next level. The D-Corps did an okay job, but it's very difficult to contain this Carolina Hurricanes team.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch them play, really. Every time they're out there, they are pressuring you to death. Even if they're on the penalty kill, they are pressuring you, making you make the pass you want to wait an extra second or two to make and maybe handle the puck a little bit longer. But unless you get rid of that puck quick, they are going to be on you. They cause turnovers, and that's how they create their offense. And I mean, Ellison Ekholm, I like the fact that they're united. It seemed like Josi was out there with a mixed bag, trying to limit the minutes of, say, Harper, Gudbranson, of course, his first game with Nashville. But Josi out there with whoever they can pair him up with, whether it's Benning or Harper or anybody else. But I like seeing Ellison Ekholm together. But like you said, Carolina is so dynamic. Doesn't matter what line is out there. For a good stretch of time, it was their fourth line creating the most havoc in the offensive zone against Nashville. So they're hard to play against. But again, this is a team that is beatable. I mean, just before they played Nashville, the lowly Detroit Red Wings swept them in Carolina. So, I mean, you got to catch them maybe on the right night, I guess. But the Preds have to do better, whether it's coaching, whatever the case is. They have to find a way to beat Carolina at some point sooner or later if they want to make any sort of noise against them. I guess a potential first-round playoff matchup, of course, you'd probably want to avoid that, but you got to find a way to do it. Whatever the case is, UC Saros tried to do it almost single-handed the night, and that wasn't enough.
And Mosh, you just mentioned it. You have to find a way. Here you got an opportunity to go up against what is essentially their third goaltender in Nedeljkovic, and you still couldn't get the job done. You certainly don't have the stats, the record, or the history against either of the two options as the starting goaltender for the Carolina Hurricanes. So this was an opportunity lost by the Nashville Predators. They were tied going into a third period. After all, that first period, they should have been blown out. They found a way to even things out. You win a period, you win that hockey game on the road. It might have been one of the more impressive victories of the season considering what they had survived, but it was not. The forward grouping of this, not a whole lot to report from the box score. Mostradamus, Matt Duchene makes his return from injury again. Another one of those weird things where suddenly Matt Duchene's just back out there. We didn't have any idea or indication of his return or time frame or anything. He's been making radio appearances and saying he's going to be back. Well, there he is, suddenly back on the ice. He skated 14:46. I'll get into more of that with Sean C. Smith here in a minute in his return. But I want you to talk about the overall grouping of the forwards. I just felt like they did not get the job done in this one. They had incredible difficulty catching up to the game in the first period. By the middle of the second period, yeah, they had evened things out, but they had already gotten themselves pretty gassed. And you could see that by the late in the third, they were unable to keep up with the speed and the grit of this Carolina Hurricanes team. Talk to me about what you saw from the four lines.
Well, like you said, not a whole lot. I mean, I do see that, you know, the time on ice, of course, they balanced it out pretty good because, let's be honest, if they got stuck out there, you had to get somebody else rotated out there, particularly in that first period, just rotating four lines just to under siege in that first period. But, yeah, they showed a little bit of life, and obviously Johansson, unfortunately, on a rebound attempt, hits the post and it comes back at him, and, you know, you got to try to kick it in, you know, fine by him to try to get that live. You couldn't see it. Once they showed the replay, it was pretty clear that wasn't going to count. But they're just not creating enough. They're not doing enough. I mean, they had a 2-on-1. I want to say it was in the second period where Cousins gets the shot off and Hall is there with him. It's basically a 3-on-2, 2-on-1 turning into a 3-on-2. Hall is going strong as an option to pass it. And he, yeah, he got a body on him to bump him off of it, but he did not go to the front of the net at all. He just does a flyby. That's something that's unacceptable, in my opinion. Cousins gets the shot. It leaks through Nedeljkovic. It's sitting right there in the crease, and Hall is nowhere near the crease area. He just kind of skated right by, and Nedeljkovic had time to kind of dust it off and cover it up himself. But not good enough. Again, you're missing Forsberg and Tolvanen, your two most dynamic forwards out there. But next man up. We've been saying it all year since the injuries have started piling up. Next man up. So somebody's got to step it up. Whether it's Yarncroak, he did it for a little while. Sissons has shown the propensity to get some offense going as well, or that entire herd line. Somebody's got to step up and make some plays. You know, Duchesne, typical Duchesne, he did okay, but not on the score sheet, which is pretty much his entire National Predators career.
Mosh, one thing I would definitely like to talk about, one little caveat in this game, and the numbers don't necessarily bear out what the overall eye test or what the overall in-game performance turned out to be. Faceoffs in this game, Carolina ends up winning 35, Nashville ends up winning 29, but I've got to tell you, I feel like every time the Nashville Predators faced a tough, critical face-off in this game or one in their D zone, they lost it. Not only lost it, but they lost it clean. And Mosh, correct me if I'm wrong, this Nashville Predators team has been pretty solid. Even when they weren't playing great hockey, they were still pretty solid in the face-off circle. Johansson usually very reliable out there. Granlund has certainly represented himself well in the last month since he's been moved over to center. And the rest of the Nashville Predators centers are certainly plenty competent. Sissons usually does a great job in the D zone. Mosh, what happened in the faceoff dot that night? Why was Carolina able to just have their way with the Nashville Predators center? That battle clearly was one of the determining factors in this game.
Yeah, Sissons, I think, did a great job. Had defensive zone for us. I think the Preds iced the puck two or three times in a row, and Sissons was out there every single time, won the faceoff, and the team kept icing the puck, and he just kept having to do it over and again. So Sissons did a good job. But again, on the game-winning goal against, it's a little bit of a loophole, I guess, in the wording of the new rule, the new offside rule. You can have the puck in the offensive zone. This is something that bothered me when I watched it live. You have the puck in the offensive zone for 2 minutes straight. You're just dominating play. You can do everything you want, and 2 minutes goes by, offensive zone time, and you score a goal. The team can challenge for offside. Carolina, before the faceoff, had an entry that was very clearly offside to pretty much everybody in the arena except for the linesman. Let the play go, and I get it, because you could always you could replay it if it leads to a goal. Well, the problem is the shot came, Saros smothered it, face-off. That rule goes out the window at this point. What happens? Carolina wins the face-off, immediately scores 2 seconds after that. So that's something that I don't like, the whole, you know, too many challenges. I want the play to be called right, but that's something that they could possibly address in the offseason. That was something that kind of bothered me, that especially when it leads to a game-winning goal like that.
It was tough to watch. It was tough to see the centers get beaten as cleanly as they were beaten throughout this game. Hopefully, we'll see an improvement. After all, you just go back two games and you see how much more detailed the Nashville Predators were around the net and the face-off dot in all three zones, and you see what can be, and you see what absolutely was not in this game against the Carolina Hurricanes. All right, Mosh, time to put that one in the rearview mirror. We won't see the Carolina Hurricanes again until the final two games of the season, and then potentially a best of seven series, which right now would not stack up very good for this Nashville Predators team. But we've got to get there first, and can't do that without beating the Chicago Blackhawks this week. Three games set. Because of some of the weirdness of the schedule early on, we end up with a three-game series, Mosh, in one of the most pivotal times of the season. The 4 and 5 seeds, separated by 2 points, will play three times this week. The first time today at Bridgestone Arena, Wednesday night, Friday night in Chicago. Kind of feels like a three-game playoff series, or at least to determine who will go to the playoffs. Mosh, I know the season's not over yet, but if one of these teams can take all three of these games, well, the season might be just about over. Mosh, talk to me about not just tonight's game, who you expect in goal for the two teams, but talk to me about the week upcoming and expected for you.
Well, certainly I think it's going to be Lankinen and Saros in net. Saros, again, with a strong performance against Carolina. You got to put him back in there. And Lankinen, of course, has been a great find for the Chicago Blackhawks. So that's going to be them. But this is such a rare opportunity, too. Normal seasons, you never play the same team in three straight. You'll have your occasional back-to-back scenarios, but never three straight. This is potentially a 12-point swing in the standings. The Preds could virtually eliminate Chicago by putting them 8 points behind them, or the Preds could virtually eliminate themselves, because let's not forget, they're playing Chicago. If Chicago finds a way to sweep all three against Nashville, not only would Chicago be in front of them, Dallas is playing Detroit in four straight games this week. If Detroit does what they do and lose four straight against Dallas, Dallas is potentially 5 points ahead of Nashville by the end of this week. So it's a massive, massive swing that could occur if either one of these teams sweep and Dallas does their job and sweeps Detroit. So very difficult to see. But, you know, time will tell. That by the end of Saturday, we could be having completely two different conversations. As far as the net goes, Lankinen, he's been great. He's cooled off significantly here as of late. He's given up three or more goals in six of his last seven. Subban, not much better before he shut out Detroit. He'd given up three or more in five straight games. Obviously, players to watch, you know, Patrick Kane, he's been held to just two assists in five games against Nashville this year, so you have to watch out for him. He's ready to break out at any point. To break it, two goals in three games against Nashville this season, they all came in a two-minute span to tie the game. If you remember that game that Josi scored late to secure the victory. But dangerous team against Chicago, yes, they've won all five, but two of them were in extra time, and every game has been tight all the way to the end.
There's some trends that are working against the Nashville Predators. While the numbers look great, 5-0, they've outscored this team 14-6. Holding Patrick Kane off the score sheet as many times as they already have, that is not going to last forever. Stopping that top-end power play unit is not going to last forever. This Nashville Predators team needs to really dig in. There's a significant opportunity for this Blackhawks team to overcome what's been in pretty much an awful season to this point. The Nashville Predators need to do the job tonight. They need to go in there and work as hard as they can on home ice. Mosh, if they do, they'll have their 14th home win of the season. I'll give them a record of 14-9, give them an opportunity to go back and get that record to 500 or better on the road in Chicago. But it all starts tonight at Bridgestone Arena. If the Nashville Predators don't win this one, they'll put themselves behind the eight ball going into the rest of the week. We'll be talking about it the rest of the week. We'll be talking a lot about the Blackhawks and the rest of the Central Division. I'll be doing that with Mostradamus. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He's a man so far ahead in the future. He's already told you everything that's going to happen between the Nashville Predators and the Chicago Blackhawks. Mostradamus, can't thank you enough for jumping in the trenches with me this morning and talking all things Nashville Predators hockey.
Charlie, always a pleasure. We'll do it again this week.
Mostradamus right there, bringing it strong. He sets you all up. He's got you everything you need to know about the Nashville Predators and the Chicago Blackhawks while also going back and taking a look at what happened between the Preds and the Carolina Hurricanes over the weekend over in North Carolina. That was Mostradamus. Sean C. Smith is up next from ontheforecheck.com. Me, I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. You are listening to the Renegades of Puck at Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Prednik Nation. I'm Harrison, Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Matt Duchesne bringing us back from break right there. 24 games skated on the season. Only 3 goals and 5 assists for 8 points in the game coming back. Not a whole lot to talk about in the box score. 2 shots on net, 14-46 in time on ice. But it is good for the Nashville Predators to have one of their more experienced and veteran players back on the ice for this playoff run, potentially. Here to talk to me about that and all things Nashville Predators hockey from ontheforecheck.com. He is Sean C. Smith. You can find him on Twitter at SCSOTF. He's got the intel that you need to know. You need to be following him. He's got boots on the ground, and he has direct conversation with people at every level of the organization. So you need to be following him at SCSOTF. Sean C. Smith, good morning. How are you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, I'm doing great. I tell you what, I'm ready to go this morning.
Great. And I would like to go back and talk about one or two things that happened over the weekend before we move on to what's going to happen this week with Chicago. And Sean, if there's one thing that's incredibly obvious from watching the Predators against the Carolina Hurricanes now 6 times this season, it is that speed kills, and speed kills the Nashville Predators.
Oh, Charlie, if you had to give, you asked me what was the cause of death for the Predators' like incredible string of victories recently, I'd say it was speed. Now, sure, you could say it was the Hurricanes. They were the cause, and it would make a lot of sense because Canes are the best team in the division right now, and they're also best on the power play. But what the Hurricanes really did was expose what I feel to be the biggest weakness the Predators have heading into the end of the season, and that's defending against a team with speed. Now, that's not to say the Predators don't have some fast skaters, because they do, but at any given point, all 5 Hurricanes on the ice can skate fast in that game. And there are systems, strategies, styles of play, and for every offensive game plan, there's a defensive schematic designed to combat that plan. What can you do with speed? It's hard to stop a guy you can't catch. I had a lot of praise for Nashville's neutral zone play after the game against Tampa Bay the other night. I even said that scheme they were using against Tampa Bay was ideal for fast teams, and I still stand by that statement, but it clearly didn't work against Carolina the first night. and it didn't get rectified the second night either. So looking toward the playoffs, if another tango with the Hurricanes is in the books, they're going to have to figure something out, or it's going to be real quick and real painful.
Sean, we spent a good bit of time going to the microscopic level of the power play unit, what its effect has been without Tolvanen, without Forsberg, and how they have found very little success as of late. Let's revisit that. It certainly did not help them over the weekend against the Carolina Hurricanes. And for anyone who did miss that conversation, wants to go all the way into the deep dive, just go back to the last episode of Prednik Nation Radio. WNSR.com has every one of the archives listed right there for you to check out. But Sean, update the people on the conversation we had the other day and now what you've seen from the power play through the weekend. Yet another outage from that power play unit.
Yeah, I think 20% of the show the other day was me talking about the power play. I don't want to go through it all again, but the things I will revisit that on Thursday, power play faceoffs were a major issue. The team either lost the faceoff, or if they did win it, they sent the puck back all the way back to the neutral zone. Now, John Hines spoke at length about how this was something the team would address before Saturday night's game, but I didn't see anything improve. In fact, somehow, it seemed worse on Saturday. Power play is broken right now, and if the only way to fix it is getting Forsberg and Tolvanen back, then let's hope it happens soon. But I'll also point this out. These losses to Carolina aren't really as bad as they seem, because if you take away the empty net goals and then add in just one power play conversion by the Predators each night, in spite of the play in the neutral zone and the speed of the Hurricanes, these become winnable games. Of course, UC Soros has to keep playing lights out hockey or the wheels fall off really quickly. But a big theme of everything I've said for well over a week now is how important good goaltending is. So you kind of change just a few minor things and these games aren't as bad as they seem, and they actually become winnable very quickly.
Let's talk about, one, a debut, and two, a return to the lineup for this Nashville Predators team. Let's start with a debut. Trade deadline came and went last week. Sean, relatively quiet for this Nashville Predators team, as we expected, of course, as we've recapped in great detail. Gudbranson was the addition for this Nashville Predators team. He made his debut in the lineup the other night. Not a whole lot to talk about in the box score. He did have one shot on net, skated 15:40 in time on ice, did take 21 shifts overall, and delivered 3 hits in this game. Talk to me about his debut as a Nashville Predator, Sean.
Well, you know, it seemed going into the game that the social media masses were awaiting something similar to the return of Matt Irwin. But, you know, that didn't really happen. In my opinion, Gudbranson was just fine on the third pairing. I even saw him make some solid defensive stops in the neutral zone and even force some turnovers. You know, the most overlooked thing about Gudbranson is that he comes to Nashville with an average of 18 minutes of ice time a night. And if the main thing you want out of your third pairing at this stage in the game is for them to eat up minutes so your top four defenders have a chance to catch their breath, then I'd say mission accomplished. Now, I was recording an episode of the Forecheck podcast last night with Nick Morgan, and he made the comment that you don't really want to notice your third pairing defenders, because if you do, it's probably going to be for something bad. And if that's the case, then, you know, let's hope he continues to go, you know, unnoticed, not making any major waves, because if he's making major waves, they may not be good waves.
We also saw returning to the lineup from injury Matt Duchene out there again. Not a whole lot, because there wasn't a whole lot on the box score in this game for anybody. 14:46 in time on ice. He did have 2 shots on net, did miss one shot, delivered 3 hits, and had 3 takeaways. I definitely noticed him out there on the ice, Sean, but I think it's going to take a little while before he can get fully up to speed. But Matt Duchene back in the lineup after injury. Talk to me about what you saw.
Yeah, you know, he did play on the third line, and that brought Pitlick out of the game. And one of the biggest reasons for that is that Hines wants to keep the identity of these lines intact. And Pitlick coming out, you know, he's a speedy offensive player who's good in the neutral zone and has a pretty good nose for the net. And if that describes anybody else in the team, I would say that describes Matt Duchene pretty well. So it makes sense to make this swap based on the identity you're trying to maintain of those lines. Now, if you're clamoring for Duchene on a higher line, like you said, that may be a possibility in a few games once he's up to game speed. He has been off the ice for a while. He did say that he'd been skating with the team a lot, but you and I both know that you can skate with a team all you want, but until you skate against another team, it's not really getting up to the speed you need to get to. But the big thing to remember is that Hines said recently, when he talked about players returning to the lineup, is that it's not about what the team can do for you, it's what you can do for the team. And right now, Duchene may be best suited for this team playing wing on the third line. And I'm not Brian Baston, but I can read a box score, and I can tell you, like you just said, Duchene's 3 takeaways doesn't seem impressive, but that was more than anyone else for the Predators and more than anyone else on the ice for either team. So I think he hit the ground running, and even if he didn't show up on the scoreboard, he contributed, especially in a third-line role.
There are only four other takeaways combined for the rest of the team, so his three takeaways certainly stand out as noticeable on the box score. Looking forward to his continued improvement. Listen, if the Nashville Predators are going to go anywhere, they're going to need everybody pulling on the rope in the same direction. Insert whatever cliche that you want right there, and Matt Duchene will be a pivotal part of that moving forward. Speaking of moving forward, Sean, this is going to be one hell of a fun week for us here in the trenches at Prednik Nation Radio. Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena today. The Predators in Chicago Wednesday and Friday. National TV also in the mix. A three-game series to determine who will be the fourth seed at the end of this week. No, it's not the end of the season, and certainly at the end of this three-game, nothing will have been decided. But at the end of this week, we will certainly have a little bit of a clearer picture. Sean, going to be a very fun week. Talk to me about not just today, but just like I did with Mosh, give me your expectations for the entire week ahead in a three-game set for the Blackhawks. Start with today. Bridgestone Arena.
I want to start with my expectations, and I want to say that the team needs to win at least two of these games. But, you know, securing wins against Chicago would effectively end Chicago's playoff chances. But, you know, now so much of Nashville's chances at that fourth spot have to do with what Dallas does, especially with all those games in hand. So the Preds need to bank as many points as they can between now and that final game they have against Dallas. And, yeah, the Preds may be 5-0 against the Blackhawks this season, but that's no guarantee they're going to come away with 6 points. These are must-win games, as much as every game is a must-win game. The Blackhawks shifted some personnel at the deadline, and they've been winning games. So I would look for the Predators to try to shut down the neutral zone, hopefully as effectively as they did against Tampa Bay, and nothing like what happened in Carolina. And hopefully, if they do end up giving the Blackhawks a chance on the power play, let's hope the Predators' penalty kill is on point. And, of course, like I mentioned before, it's not going to hurt if the power play can find something that works, too.
Sean, the last time this Nashville Predators team had a tough stretch of hockey against Tampa and Carolina, they came out of it and faced off against the Wings and the Blackhawks and other teams below them in the standings, and they looked like a completely different team. You hope for a similar effect this time. No, it was not fun, enjoyable, or easy to watch the Nashville Predators take those beatings from the Carolina Hurricanes, but the results could help the Nashville Predators this week against the Blackhawks, and that's where they have to handle their business. I know Sean C. Smith will be here in the trenches to talk to me about it all week long. Very much looking forward to this three-game set against the Blackhawks. We've had it circled on the schedule for quite some time, and now that we're here, very much looking forward to covering it. Sean, the people can find your work at onthefourcheck.com. They can also follow you at SCSOTF. You've got the intel that they need to know, and you update it throughout the day, having a chance to talk to people throughout the organization. It's a wealth of knowledge and a great resource for us here in the trenches at Prednik Nation Radio. Sure do appreciate you, and I hope everybody's giving Sean a follow out there. Sean, great job this morning. Look forward to talking to you again very soon, and tell everybody over at onthefourcheck.com said nothing but respect and love.
I'll do it, Charlie. I appreciate it, and anytime you need me, I'll be ready to go.
Sean C. Smith right there from onthefourcheck.com. You also heard from Mastrodamus. Brian Baston's voice is having a little bit of an issue, doing a little too much talking. Got to get him trained up a little bit more. Got to extend his minutes. Got to get his stamina and his endurance up just a little bit more. So you can look forward to Brian Baston's One Big Stat on Twitter coming out in just a few minutes. We'll get that out at Renegades of Puck. Remember, you can always follow the show right there, or you can always follow us at Nash Sports Radio. We would appreciate if you would support this radio station, as they have supported the Renegades of Puck and hockey coverage in the mainstream for over 20 years. The Renegades of Puck personally for 10 plus years. And of course, I've been a part of this radio station for over 12 years now. And I was a part of hockey coverage before the Renegades of Puck even existed, before there was a need to even start digging the trenches. And by the way, those trenches are expanding 1 foot at a time, one listener at a time. Keep passing the links on. Keep spreading the word. Keep passing that information around. On the monetary budget that we're working with right here, it's up to each and every one of us. Everyone knows a renegade out there, and it doesn't matter where you're coming from or where you're going. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck, and right now, as we head down the stretch of the regular season, we head to playoff madness. This is where you need to be. No one's going to deliver the goods to you like the Renegades of Puck. So please, jump in the trenches with us. Let other renegades know. Everyone knows a renegade. Everyone can bring another renegade to the party. Calling all renegades, let's get everyone to the trenches here and deliver the goods here coming up for the playoffs. Nashville Predators, fourth place. Chicago Blackhawks, fifth place. A three-game set starts today. They're separated by just 2 points in the standings. Very much looking forward to this. Rebirth Sports, very much looking forward to getting a box delivered from Rebirth Sports that's going to have brand new Renegades of Puck jerseys. Those guys are just the best. Listening in the office up there, stick taps to you guys. Certainly appreciate the partnership that we have had with you guys. All the Renegades of Puck are very excited, very interested, cannot wait to see exactly what is going to be coming and getting delivered in the mail. And once they're here, we'll be letting you know how you can get your hands on one of those Renegades of Puck jerseys. Yes, there'll be giveaways. There'll be secret ambushes of celebrities. There'll be all kinds of crazy things going on once those jerseys are in hand and we can start moving on to phase two of that promotion. Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio in partnership with Rebirth Sports and Stripe Design and Print. We sure do appreciate each and every one of them. And by the way, with the playoffs coming up, that opens up more opportunities for advertising. So, Renegades, if you know a business that wants to jump in the trenches with us, let me know. I'll go talk to them personally. The captain jumps out of the trenches and comes to talk to clients whenever is necessary, and I will do so. So let me know if there's something out there that we can work on. Live shows getting ready to start coming back as the city continues to open up a little bit more. The Omni Nashville Hotel will be back in play, and we are incredibly, incredibly excited about the future of the Renegades of Puck. For Sean C. Smith, for Mastrodamus, for the ultimate one, for K. Perk, for, let's see, who else? Ah, for Brian Baston, that's right. I think I got everybody right there. And for each and every one of you Renegades of Puck, I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia. It's been a great honor being in the trenches and entertaining you this morning. Remember, we've all got access to the same video, the same replays, the same box scores, and the same statistics. It's a matter of how you deliver it. Nobody does it better than the Renegades of Puck. So jump in the trenches with us each and every game day live at 5 or in an on-demand world whenever it is you feel like listening to us. We'll be here. We count on you jumping in the trenches with us. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia. Stick taps, love, respect to all.